Mercy Spirituality Center presents Muffin Talk with Beate.
Kia ora and welcome to our Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. We are a center for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation and personal development. Once a week, I invite a visitor to join me in the studio to talk about our center, our programs, social justice, different cultures, or ecumenism. Today, my visitor is the Reverend Petra Zaleski. Petra, a warm welcome and hi to my Tareti Perung.
Hello, how are you?
Very well. The Reverend Petra Zaleski is originally from England, but has been living in New Zealand for many years. Mm-hmm. And currently, she is the vicar of St. Peter's Anglican Church in Onehunga in Auckland. Petra, you're an Anglican vicar. What are the roles of a vicar in the Anglican Church?
Good question. I'm still working that out myself. So I guess with a vicar role, that is a person who is an ordained priest. And a vicar is the stewardship of a particular parish. So I understand it in a similar way to kaitiakitanga. So I have the stewardship of that particular place, but essentially I'm a parish priest. Does that answer the question?
So is a parish priest also a vicar?
A parish priest isn't also necessarily a vicar. A parish priest may be a priest who is called to serve in a particular community, ordained, but may not have the responsibility of vicar. It's often called rector, and in the early days, I think they were also called the curer of the soul.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you for that. And your name sounds very Polish. Do you have Polish ancestors?
Yes, my grandfather was Polish. So my mum's half Polish, and he moved to England during the Second World War. Yeah.
And the Polish are usually Catholics.
He was a Catholic, and my mother was a Catholic, and like all good Catholics, I was then baptized a Catholic, and grew up in the Catholic faith. My parents lived in Indonesia when I was young, and I went to a boarding school in England in Hastings at the age of 8, which was a convent school, a canoness of St. Augustine. So the nuns wore full habits, and I said the rosary every day. It felt like many, many, many times a day, but that was the fabric of my being, living in a convent.
How did you become an Anglican then?
Yeah, that's a good question, isn't it? As I grew in my spirituality, I had moments where I was deeply influenced by the charismatic movement, and yet this idea of the external God, the Father God, outside of me, omnipotent, imminent, I just was not able to relate to. So the journey was a slow one. I deeply knew the reality of the God that I live in and breathe and have my being in, but couldn't really language it according to the faith that I'd grown up in. I had a major awakening when I had the opportunity to let go of all of my preconceived ideas about God, about Jesus, about the Spirit, about the Trinity, and had a moment where I got down on my knees and said, okay, I've just got to let all of this go. I don't understand it, but I know the reality of God. And so let the rest unfurl. And it did. I had some time in the Salvation Army where I was an adherent shortly after I left the bridge, Ewington Avenue, where I went for alcohol and drug recovery. And moved through the Salvation Army, loved it, started a theology degree with my mum. She started at Auckland University, and I fell in love with the staff at CIT and Auckland School of Theology. So it was Professor Elaine Wainwright, Anne Gilroy, Mary Cagle, Philip Culbertson, just these absolutely wonderful people, and I found theology. My eyes opened, And I thought, great, I'm not crazy. And, you know, I think Robin Williams said something about Episcopalians. There's always an Episcopalian who believes the same way that you do. I actually realise now that there are Catholics that believe the same way that I do as well. And I guess what has really cemented me within the Anglican faith, my grandmother, by the way, was Church of England, and my grandfather was Catholic, so I can fuck a papa back to the Catholic, to the Church of England, through my grandmother, so I feel an affinity there. But I guess what it was ultimately was my calling to the priesthood. And I recognized that from the age of eight, and looking at the altar and looking at the sanctuary and watching the priest, being fully conscious of the real presence of the divine in the sacrament, that I was also called to be part of that sacrament. I take the sacraments extremely seriously, but then I would go further than two or seven to say that the entirety of life is sacramental. Essentially, that's my theology. So I have been received warmly into the Anglican faith and have been ordained. They took a risk on me.
How long ago was that?
Gosh, I think I was ordained to the diaconate 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. That was at All Saints Ponsonby. That was my first Anglican church, and there again was love and welcome and reception. And at that time I was a single mum with my daughter Natasha, who's now 18. Natasha was 5 at the time, and I was welcomed and loved by that community and held while I did my crazy time of discernment and theological exploration.
Wonderful. Mm. For those of you who've just tuned in, you're listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. This program is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. If you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk or visit our website or Facebook page at Tingaka Waiora Mercy Spirituality Center. My visitor today is the Reverend Petra Zaleski, and she has just told us about her way to the Anglican Church. Mm. And now we are in the last weekend of the initiative Exploring Sacred Spaces 2018. Mm. As I mentioned in my previous interviews, the Auckland Interfaith Council has been able to link the initiative with the Auckland Heritage Festival. So far, we have visited the Muslim Mosque in Ponsonby, the Hindu Temple in Balmoral Road, and the Auckland Hebrew Congregation in Grays Avenue in central Auckland. Tonight, we will come to Onehunga, where Petra is based. Mm. The parish priest of the Catholic Church, Our Lady of the Assumption, Father Andrew Antonio, has invited his Anglican and Presbyterian neighbors to join the celebration when we are going to visit three churches that are within a short walking distance. Mm. Petra, you're part of the planning group for this visit tonight. Can you tell us more about it?
Well, it's a really exciting initiative, and I'm pleased and proud to share our sacred space with the rest of the community. What's particularly great about this is that Father Andrew, the Reverend Whakaofokayo, who is the senior minister of the Onehunga Cooperating Parish in Grey Street, we have worked together on a continual basis throughout the years and well before my time, and Father Andrew has joined into that. I think they have been working ecumenically for maybe 25, 30 years. So it essentially means we begin our year with a combined Advent service, and then towards Christmas, and then Good Friday, Easter Sunday, we have combined services the whole way through. And you mentioned that they're only a short distance, which is good because we carry a cross on Good Friday around the three churches. So I think we've had up to 700 people at a time. So it's a great testimony, and it's a great coming together. So Friday is going to be...
Yeah. Today, yeah.
Today. Friday tonight is going to be great because we have that opportunity to show everybody else our partnership and to walk around and to hear some of the history of the churches.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful that for so many years you've been working together.
Yeah.
Despite, there have been different priests, I assume, but the work has been
The spirit of ecumenism. Yes, yes, it's been brilliant.
It's also a very historic place with old churches. All three churches are quite old.
That's right, that's right. I think that Assumption is 1847 and St. Peter's is 1847 as well. Their deacon, Arthur Guyon Purchase, who was their first reverend, Dr. Arthur Guyon Purchase, has a book coming out. John Steele has written a book, and I think that's going to be published next year. But he was just a polymath. He could do anything he put his mind and hand to. I am not that person. I think he delivered the first C-section in New Zealand and had 16, 18, I don't know, 100 children. I feel sorry for his wife. But, you know, he was a phenomenal man, and I've read some of his theology, and it was progressive well before his time. So, but that whole area, I mean, Onehunga as a port, it was a bright, vibrant township, and I believe it still is. It's changing now through the process, I think, of gentrification, but it is certainly, it has a real town community feel to it.
Well, when we started talking about in the Auckland Interfaith Council, talking about which places we want to go to, as the title of the Auckland Heritage Festival this year is celebrating the heritage of our people, we were thinking, well, heritage is also the religious heritage. And Onehunga is one of the oldest churches, not the oldest church in New Zealand, but it's one of the older churches in New Zealand and certainly also in Auckland. And Onehunga started as a church for settlers and for the fencibles. And so it started quite typical as the church started in New Zealand. And now it's very multi-ethnic.
It is. It's brilliant. I mean, it's so diverse. And the thing I love about St. Peter's is its diversity. We, even though we would come under the jurisdiction of Tikanga Pākehā in our three Tikanga church, St. Peter's is widely diverse, including we have a partnership with Tikanga Pasifika Lotu Vakaviti, led by Father Henry, and that's the Fijian worshipping community in Auckland. So it's great to have a partnership with them as well. They'll be there tonight too, I believe.
And the Presbyterian, can you tell us more about this cooperation between the Presbyterian and other churches?
Yeah, so I can give you a very basic understanding because it's not my place. It probably would be better for Whakaofo, for Reverend Kayo to speak on behalf. But my understanding is that it is a cooperating parish, meaning that the Methodist congregation, the Presbyterian congregation, the Church of Christ, United Church of Christ, have come together as a cooperative under one banner. And my understanding is that that church is also exceedingly diverse because Father Reverend Kayo looks after many different cultural groups. So there's a Cook Island group, the Samoan group, Tongan, Niue, and different whānau within one, doing different things but communicating together and worshipping together. It's quite phenomenal.
So the event tonight will be very diverse because we have different denominations, we have different cultures, different languages.
That's right.
But we're all coming together under one roof.
And how much more could diversity be, really, in God's creation? It's great.
We're all Christians.
Indeed. It's wonderful.
So when we walk from one church to another, it's not that far. So anybody who is not so well, if they could stay behind if they couldn't walk. But it's not a problematic walk.
No, it's not. It's very easy. I would say it would be accessible. There's no steps that I can think of. So even if people have mobility devices or need accessibility, it's fairly flat, I would imagine. I can't offer to carry anyone on my back. I'm not that good a Christian. I'm sorry about that.
Well, if somebody can't walk, then they can stay at Onehunga Church.
That's right.
At the Catholic Church.
That's right.
Because we'll start at the Catholic Church on the parking. That's where we're gathering. Mm-hmm. And we'll come back to the same place.
Yes.
And those who can't walk or stand, they can sit in the church and wait until we return.
An accommodation has been made for them. We've, in our planning, have mentioned that there will be people who probably will stay behind or perhaps come later or come at different times.
So that they know where to go or where not to go.
That's right, that's right.
So we'll have to have good weather, hopefully.
Yes, yes, absolutely.
Because when it's raining, it's more challenging.
That's right, but it's daylight savings, which is fantastic. So yes, it'll be lighter, I hope.
Yes. Mm. And then in the end, we'll have also, so we'll hear something about the history of all churches,
yes.
all three churches.
Uh-huh.
And then we return to Onehunga Catholic Church.
Mm.
And then we'll have a little entertainment.
Yes, I understand that there's going to be a presentation and welcome from Our Lady of the Assumption Catholic Church, and then we'll move into cups of tea and entertainment. And there's a number of different cultural groups that have been arranged to...
That's wonderful.
So to entertain us.
Anybody's welcome.
Absolutely. Everybody's welcome.
Everybody's welcome.
Mm.
And St. Peter's Church, can you say something about St. Peter's Church, which is the church that you're working in?
Mm.
It's also an old church. Is it still the old building, or is it was it founded in the 19th century and rebuilt?
Yeah, it has a very interesting progressive life, really. The original church was a Selwyn church, and I believe that it was built in 1846. The nave of the church still remains, just behind the previous vicarage, actually, up in Grey Street in Onehunga, which was also sold. There is one original beam in the church, just above the altar, which is part of that original church. The tower that's quite noticeable from around the area was built, I believe, in 1930, which is where the sanctuary is, and it's old, solid cementy kind of look. That's not very well described. I know. I can see it in my mind, and I'm trying to describe it. But that's the older part of the church now, with the tower and the bell. Then I believe in the 80s, the new part was designed, including an area which is called the bridge, which spreads out, and it's the bridge from the church into the community, and vice versa. So it's planned so that it can be right on the corner of the township to be welcome for all. The back window, interestingly, the stained glass window, the one at the front of the church is St. Peter, feed my lambs, feed my lambs, feed my lambs. But the back one is a beautifully designed piece by Bill McCormick, who is still a worshipping parishioner in the community. So it's lovely when Bill's there, because it feels like the church has literally been built by the people who are still worshipping there. And we have descendants of Arthur Guy and Purchase who still worship with us. So it's fantastic. It's living history, living history.
Hopefully they come also to this evening.
I hope so. I hope so.
Yeah. And the other church, the combined churches.
Yes.
Is that originally a Presbyterian church, or is it originally a Methodist church?
I don't know, Beate. I don't know what the originality of that church was, what the original denomination was. Sorry, I can't help you on that.
Yeah.
Mm.
But we'll hear more about it when we come to the evening event.
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
And so... Also, on the next day, not the next day, but on Sunday, we'll have the last part of our Auckland Interfaith Initiative, Exploring Sacred Spaces. And we are going to go to the Anglican Theological College in Meadowbank.
Mm. St. John's Theological College.
Can you tell us a bit about that college?
Do you mean in terms of the heritage of the college? Look, it's got an extensive trajectory, the college, really. I can't give you specifics because they've fallen out of my head.
But that's okay, because otherwise people don't come to the...
That's
to
a,
the
taster. It's a taster. It's a taster. A point of note is the chapel at St. John's College. It's the most beautiful chapel. It's another Selwyn building.
So just for the Catholics who might not be so familiar, was the first bishop, Anglican bishop in New Zealand.
Yes,
correct?
And a form of architecture as well. So it's a style with the high pointing eaves, I guess, and the windows with the inverted triangle, that look, my description and not going very well, I'm afraid, but the chapel is beautiful.
Yeah,
I can say that. And then you've got various other buildings. And so it's been a part of the Anglican story for a very long time.
And why is it called college? Is it a college?
It's a college. So it's Three Tikanga College. So Pacifica students, Pākehā students, and Tikanga Māori students gather together. So it's widely representative of the college. It's also the theological college for the national church. So people come from various other dioceses within New Zealand to come to study at St. John's Theological College. And there's papers which you can sit, I think it's the Diploma of Christian Studies, which people who are in the process towards discernment, towards ordination, will also perhaps undertake a theology degree from Otago or another university. That's usually how it's experienced.
And is the chapel open normally, or is it just for this occasion?
The chapel is open. There's a regular rhythm of prayer and worship. Well, that was how it was when I was there. So we would have morning prayer, midday prayer, and evening prayer, which was quite a useful way of finding that monastic, neo-monastic rhythm in life.
Mm-hmm. Because one of the things with our sacred spaces is that we are visiting places that are often closed to the public normally. Okay. And so in this case we have a chapel, or I think most of the Christian places are open usually. The churches are usually open. And but you'll get a special tour, not just a tour, but you'll have a lot of people of different faiths also coming for these exploring sacred spaces, because it's for all people here who are in Auckland. And like when we went to the Hindu temple, we had lots of Christians asking questions, Muslims asking questions about the Hindu way of worship. Mm. And so we hope that we also have lots of people of different faiths asking then about our Christian faith. And the fact that we have different denominations will give them a broader overview of just otherwise they have just one way of worship. So we hope that we have, for the Anglican Theological College and for the Onehunga churches, that we'll have a nice multicultural and multi-ethnic and interfaith group.
Absolutely. It sounds really exciting. And I'm looking at the poster here, wishing that I could have gone along to the mosque and to the temple and to the synagogue. That would have been really interesting. I'm really interested in interfaith and interreligious dialogue. So
we were very impressed with the Hindu temple. We had more than 100 people coming.
Gosh, yes.
And the synagogue, 200 people, which shows that people in Auckland are interested in religions, are interested in knowing more. And we had wonderful priests in the Hindu temple and the rabbi in the Orthodox synagogue, who explained a lot about the worship and were ready to answer any questions. Which draws us a little bit closer to our neighbors, because we always say that it's something to getting to know our neighbors. And I think that's what you're also doing in Onehunga. You're getting to know your neighbors, and your direct neighbors are all Christians.
Yes, and there is also the Islamic Center just up the road from the Church of the Assumption. There is the Zen Meditation Center, and also I think it's the Sai Baba Temple down the road as well. So it's actually even more diverse than just the three churches that are there. And of course, there's other non-denominational churches which are part of that as well. So
do you also do something together with the Muslims?
Not in a formal way, though the dairy owner on the corner of Arthur and Alfred Street, which is my local dairy, the local imam also is part of the dairy, and I talk to him a lot, and we pray for each other.
Well, that's wonderful. That's also part of interfaith.
Absolutely. And I need all the prayer I can get.
Yeah. Well, I think that everybody needs prayers, yes. But everybody can pray.
Absolutely.
Which is wonderful. We don't have to limit. And so what would you say to the people who would like to come tonight?
I would say come along, have discussions, ask all the really tricky, dodgy theological questions you've always wanted to ask. Don't be frightened. I think that's the thing. I think you can have a perception of Christianity which is formed through popular culture, which can often be quite a negative perception of Christianity, particularly the ones that make it to the media. And I think what I want to say is that fundamentalism is a polarizing force, really, and that dialogue is the antidote, really, to polemic fundamentalization.
That's why we have in the Auckland Faith Council, we have the symbol of a bridge that we are building together.
Ah, yes. Okay, that's great.
Because we don't want to convert anybody.
No.
We want to build bridges in order to understand and know each other better.
Mm. I think relationship building is the core of my ministry, because from an incarnational perspective, when I serve you, I serve Christ. Christ in the other. So that's a capital O, and it doesn't matter who that other would language God as. I value their expression as much as my own.
Yeah, wonderful. Thank you very much for
these words. Thanks.
And we hope to see a lot of people at the event. So we'll have a good atmosphere. We'll
Fantastic. Have
different ethnic groups, mm-hmm. different languages, different music, and let us have a nice surprise, a positive surprise.
Excellent.
Thank you very much.
See you there. Thanks.
And just to let you know what else is coming up in our region, in Epsom, in our Mercer Spirituality Center, on Saturday, so tomorrow, the 13th of October, from 9:30 to 3:30, Jenny Bell will come to our center, and in her workshop, she will introduce a Christian Adult Resilience Program. And then Father Kevin Waldie will come to us for two evening sessions on the 17th of October from 7 to 9 p.m. He will talk about St. Luke and St. Paul. And on the 24th of October from 7 to 9 p.m., he will focus on the first book, five books of the Bible. In both sessions, we were looking at texts that speak about natural faith and life connections. And on Saturday, the 3rd of November, from 9:30 to 3:30, Mary Betts will facilitate a retreat day with the title Nurturing Our Contemplative Selves. There will be opportunities for meeting self and God through many ways, such as prayer, wisdom, input from spiritual writers, questions for quiet reflection, time for walking, and journaling. And on Saturday, the 3rd November, the same day, we will also have Margaret Bowater, who will facilitate a dream work workshop on inspirational dreams and visions. For all events at our center, please register with us per phone at Auckland 09-638-6238 or through our website at www.mercyspiritualitycenter.org.nz. I wish you all a good Friday and a blessed week ahead. I hope I see many of you this evening. Thank you very much, Petra, for having come here.
Thanks, Beate. God bless.
Bye-bye. Yeah.